Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two is now underway. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Just hit us up there. We will get to your text over the course of the program. So to come, State Representative Shane Stringer, we're doing a makeup appearance for Monday. That's in about a half hour. Then 11 o'clock hour, my friend Stephanie Holden-Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. Well, I think most of the people in this building will be across the street, the South Lawn of the Capitol, the governor hosting a sign-and-die luncheon, but the show must go on here nonetheless. Joining us now, the newly minted Alabama Republican Party chairman who put us up. Oh, once again, thanks to Paul Lee for letting us use his conference room, the majority leader, but it was here where it all began. Speaker Ledbetter, and then Scott Stadegan, who joins us now. We're the third home of the Jeff Poor Show, if you will, in Montgomery. But, Chairman, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, man. Good to see you again.
Yeah, well, it's been a while, and we haven't had you on this session, but I appreciate you coming by. We won't get into the tedious drama. We've done enough of that this year. But otherwise, legislative-wise, how's it going?
It's going good. I think everybody's ready for this session to wrap up. We've got people, you know, primary races, and they're ready to get home and start focusing on their races. And it feels like this session has literally lasted like a year long. It's only been 3 months, right?
Who had it on their bingo card that we would, you know, it was supposed to be a slow Monday session. And you didn't take away even the drama. Still a lot of bills that I would have expected.
Controversial bills. And,
right.
You know, every time someone starts the session off and says, hey, this is going to be an easy session, we're going to get in and out, everybody's going to start going back and fundraising and doing their elections, and we should have known better, man. So someone said that it was jinxed.
We were coached, we were predisposed. I came into it, my guard down a little bit, and here we are. What 2 days left? So today and tomorrow, you know, and then we'll see what 2027 has in store. But let's talk about the Alabama Republican Party. You sought the chairmanship, and you were successful defeating Joan Reynolds and John Merrill. Now you're the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. What's it been like so far?
It's extremely exciting. I feel like God's put me in this place for a reason. And even when I was campaigning for this, you know, when you're on the right path and you don't have speed bumps or doors shutting in your face, and everything seemed very easy, and I feel like, you know, that tells me that I'm on the right path. And from day one, I went to the headquarters on Monday morning after the election and met with the staff, and I think they were a little hesitant and scared because, you know, new leadership, sometimes they bring in new staff, and they, you know, and I assured them that institutional knowledge is very, very key for someone new in this role. And we are building our team up. And from that, we're so excited about the future of our party and some of the things that we're going to do that are going to be different. And then some of the stuff that we have done that works in the past. And that's what we've been doing, just self-evaluating our party and our office and getting us a good plan moving forward.
Well, you know, I asked this question, you know, just to people in general, the role of the Alabama Republican Party now in 2026, it's a one-party supermajority here in this building, but as all those statewide constitutional offices, there's still a little work to be done in elections, but where does the party fit in the whole political ecosystem?
Yeah, so, I mean, number one, that is correct. We're a supermajority statewide, but I also think we never need to take that for granted because, you know, when you're complacent and you're not striving to be better every single day, you're not bettering yourself, and you might keep the doors open, but you're not going to be successful. And I think that's the number one objective in our minds moving forward is let's not take this for granted, having a supermajority, because as the Democrats in 2009, what their thoughts were is going in 2010, right? So we need to make sure that we are always giving the party and the citizens of Alabama the best we possibly can day in and day out, and make sure we're listening to them, make sure we represent them well. And mostly just make sure that we're taking, you know, our policy that we hold so near and dear, making sure it's hold true, you know, for tomorrow.
Well, and, you know, just the impact on public policy and I guess kind of being the sort of the conscience of, you know, where all these decisions are being made. You have your executive committee, mm-hmm. you have resolutions, you have things of that sort.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of a check, I guess.
Yeah. So they do resolutions at every one of our business meetings. There's a resolutions committee and they're presented and voted on by the state executive committee. And, you know, and that's something we're going to change. Kind of alluded to earlier about we're going to do things differently. And we're going to take some of those resolutions and we're going to combine those into legislation. And kind of have a Republican package of bills to present to the governor and the pro tem and the speaker. And then once hopefully those bills cross the governor's desk, we're going to have a Republican day at the Capitol. And we're going to celebrate our victory, because then we're actually having real impact for future generations versus a resolution. Unfortunately, it's a strong statement, but it doesn't have impact, right?
Right. That's always been kind of my observation, that there is a gulf there between the state executive committee and these lawmakers. Now, I know that some of those executive committee members are elected on the ballot by Republicans in a primary. And then, yeah, the legislature is voted on by everybody, regardless of your party affiliation in a general election. But with a Republican supermajority, I still think that there is a desire to be more Republican, quote unquote.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all Republicans, either, you know, elected officials, state executive committee members. And I think that's what I bring to the table, is I'm going to bridge that gap that's been there for years. I'm going to bring the party and the legislatures together to work as a team moving forward. And I think everybody's really, really excited about that on both sides, because, you know, we're on the same team. Just some of us not have been on the playing field and in the stands. We all need to get in the same place and set our goals in and move forward, because that's ultimately the, you know, the backbone of our party, our state party.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman and State Representative Scott Stadhagen here on the program. 2 days left. I guess the big, it's upstairs, but closing primaries. Why is this so important?
Yeah, so we've got a lot. You hear a lot of crossover votes. And I think, what was the Senate race several years ago? It was determined by one vote.
Watley's race in Lee County,
yes.
Right?
And then we've heard, you know, there was articles written about, you know, Democrats bragging about how they made the difference in that election.
And I'll bet in the New York Times.
That's right.
That's not a small newspaper.
That's right. And I think just most importantly, if you're a Republican, the primary is for you to pick your candidate to challenge a Democrat in the general. And we need to be able to pick our person who represents our policy and our beliefs for that general fight. And when you have somebody interacting and meddling in your elections, then you're not picking your guy. I mean, somebody else is, like, they're messing it up. And that's the problem here.
Yeah, and for our audience, and I thought you made this point really well, whatever interviews you did last week, that, you know, there's a crowd of people who say independents, they should be able to vote in your primary. That's mm-hmm. that's part of the democratic process. But the independents, their opportunity, they could go do their own party. There's a pathway for that.
Yeah.
Or they could vote in the general election. This is a Republican primary, and Republicans, even though it's paid for by the state, it's a system we agreed upon that Republicans should be picking Republicans, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I spoke at the Senate committee meeting yesterday. And I was short and sweet, and I basically went to the mic and I said, when you go to a precinct in a primary and you show your identification card, they're going to ask you a question afterwards. That question is, do you want a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot? Because that is the business at hand, right? If you are independent and you don't affiliate with any party, then you have no business being there, for the simple fact is you're not a party member, and that's the party who is selecting their candidate. So technically, we're not saying don't vote, but your election is in the general because you don't have affiliation.
Yeah, and you know, if it's pride or whatever, you don't want to affiliate with a party. But we've been dealing with this for years. Mm-hmm. The Democrats dealt with it before Republicans were in power, where Republicans would influence the outcome of Democratic primaries. I just, if you want, the party should have more of a say, and they do with candidates and the steering committee. I get all that. But who votes in a Republican primary? I guess the nuclear option would be you just take your ball, go home, and go pick your candidates and not even give the people the opportunity to vote on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want it to come to that. But I think, you know, the ballots have not changed. The precincts, the voting of the primaries have not changed. The voters have. And the ideology of voting has. It hasn't, nothing that this state has done and parties have done has changed over the years. It's the voters and the concepts and the way they think. And if you're an independent voter, which is fine, nothing wrong with that. But the primary is for the parties to pick their candidate. And it's that simple. It's not, you know, if you don't want to associate with either party, why are you even showing up picking a candidate for that party?
Right. Well, it's just that, and then the other argument, and this is some of the talking heads trying to make this case, but it's totally, totally invalid. Well, somebody might not want to be identified with the Republican Party. You know, Joe may have his hardware store in Scottsboro, and his customer may be a Democrat, and he may be upset with Joe for voting in the Republican primary. But we already have that. You can already go look. You can look a voter up, and you can tell what their party affiliation is. That is publicly available. So that argument to me doesn't really hit.
I agree. So if I can look it up, all the voters that voted Republican in the last primary. And if they're technically, they're not independents, by the way, because they are listed on a sheet of paper as a Republican voter, right? So, and a Democratic voter. So there's no independence. When you go back, that's a perfect, beautiful point you just brought up. If I go back and look at who everybody voted in the last primary, it only shows Democrats and Republican voters, right? It doesn't show any independent voters. So right. Technically, there is no independent voters on the registry as of right now, on paper.
You mean you could declare dependent, but you are indeed, when you vote in the Republican primary, you are picking a team here,
yeah.
Essentially. Even if you're, but the problem is people are picking a team that have less than, virtuous endeavors here, goals. They want the weakest Republican on the ballot sometimes.
That's right. Yeah. So, and you see it all the time on social media. That people will brag about how they voted for the weaker candidate to try to hurt the party. And that's really why we're doing what we're doing, because it's cut and dry. You know, if we pass this legislation, if you're a Republican, you should have that opportunity to put your best candidate in the general and nobody try to hurt your game plan. Right. And same with Democrats. If I was a Democrat, I wouldn't want somebody going in my race and messing with things and putting the weaker candidate on for the general. It doesn't make sense. The door swings both ways for both parties.
Well, let me get you out of here with this. The prospects, kind of give us an update. I sent it upstairs. How are you feeling about it?
So I do want to give a huge shout out to Pro Tem Garland Gudger. He has really put forth a huge effort in getting this through committee yesterday. All weekend I've heard from senators and constituents, and you know, it's just been hit or miss, up and down. You don't know. I mean, you just don't know which way it's going to go. And Garland and his efforts and his team, they have really, really came through for the party with their efforts in getting it through committee. It was a very interesting committee. Were you there?
I was not.
Okay. It was a very interesting committee meeting. There was arguments on both sides. I don't think personally the arguments on the opposition was valid. I think they did not comprehend the concept of a primary election. But I'm very hopeful. I think it's going to be on the calendar Thursday, and we shall see, man.
That's going to be something. A lot of crazy things could happen. Well, Chairman, we appreciate it, and do this again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
That was Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stadhagen, state lawmaker from Hartsell, from Morgan County. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just here.